Good morning. Just before I read the text for the day, a word of introduction for some of you who may have not been here for a couple of Sundays or haven't heard some of the previous services. We're doing a series called Parables, the Arrows of God. One of the things I like about parables is that they tell the story, as a poet once said, they tell the truth slant. That is, they're not sort of head-on, but they plant a story in your mind, and then you can go away and think about it, and maybe Wednesday something or Thursday you'll have a revelation. Oh, that's what that parable meant. That's what Jesus meant. Kind of like the Ten Commandments. We know the Ten Commandments are sort of straight up, right? Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not murder, and so on. They're kind of black and white or binary. But a story is open-ended. A story plays with your mind and your heart, and as you experience your life through the week, suddenly the story makes new sense. So I wouldn't be surprised if this week, somewhere in your journeys, your work or your play, you'll think of this story of the woman and the coin and Jesus telling it, and something will resonate with you and your life. Let's pause for a word of prayer before I read the scripture. Our gracious God, the one who searches until you find, thank you for your relentless love. Open our hearts and minds now to your truth for us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. So our text from Luke 15. Now all the tax collectors and sinners, that is men and women of doubtful reputation, were hanging around Jesus to listen to his teaching. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." Their grumbling triggered this story. If a woman who has 10 silver coins should lose one, won't she light a lamp and sweep and search the house from top to bottom until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors. "Rejoice with me," she says, "for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. John Buchanan was the editor of Christian Century magazine for many years. And several years ago, he told this story. He tells about sitting down with his morning coffee and opening his paper, which in his case would be the Chicago Herald Tribune. And smiling out from the front page of the paper were three young children. Now, that's not so exceptional, but he read a little further. These three young children were wearing gowns, and they were graduating from elementary school. Well, again, is that so exceptional? Maybe the gowns aren't common when you graduate from grade 6 or 7 here in Canada, but they were graduating and they were celebrating. But Buchanan read further. And as he read, he remembered a story about these three children and 16 other children that he had read about 10 years earlier. 10 years earlier, the Chicago police were doing a drug bust when they happened across an apartment of two rooms, and inside were 19 children who had no adult supervision. You can imagine the chaos, the mess, the filth, the neglect. It really beggars the imagination. He says the conditions in that two-room apartment were squalid beyond description. He said, "I remembered that story and I'd always wondered what would happen to these kids." Well, there was good news. On the 10th anniversary of the event, here were three kids on the front page of this prestigious paper who were graduating. And there was a follow-up story. Five of those kids were brothers, five boys. 2, 5, 6, 8, and 9. And the Department of Social Services, or whatever they call them down there, decided that they wanted to keep these boys together, and so they went looking for some parents. And a woman named Claudine Christian, wonderful name given this story, said she would take them in for 3 months. Well, 10 years later, Claudine still had those five boys. She related to the reporter how when they arrived, the boys didn't know what mealtime was. They were accustomed to foraging for food. They didn't know anything about utensils, so they just grabbed it with their hands and ate as fast as they could. Christine purchased new bunk beds for them, but they couldn't get in them. Instead, they slept on the floor huddled together under a blanket for comfort, for warmth. The boys often fought and sometimes destroyed household items. The house was a bit of a chaos. But she set some boundaries. She assigned simple chores and gave them some expectations. The boys started to go to school. As she said, there were lots of challenges and setbacks, but she persisted. She took the boys to her church, and one by one, they were baptized. The academic and behavioral challenges continue. The article went on, but the boys are making it. Singing in the choir, several are junior deacons at church, and they're participating in extracurricular activities. Well, at the end of this remarkable story, Claudine recalled those first harrowing weeks. She remembers their sleep broken often up by nightmares. They would wake up in the middle of the night, and I would run into the room and gather two or three at a time and just hold them and rock them until they could sleep again. And I would say, "I love you, I love you, I love you." You just say it until it sticks. You see, you can't play with those words when it comes to the hearts of children. "I love you." You just say it until it sticks. End of quote. Well, one day 2,000 years ago, a young man talked about God in terms of tenacious, amazing love. The love that graces our human lives. Now, in Jesus' day, it wasn't necessarily common to speak about God in that way. Some people had the idea of God as the creator, yes. Some, God as the lawgiver, yes. God as the law enforcer, God as punisher. I think we still understand some of those terms. But this young man of Nazareth, Jesus, offered in his teaching and his actions, he offered an alternative way of thinking and talking about God. The situation was this. Jesus was a young teacher from Rabbi, and here he was associating with people that no self-respecting, religiously observant person would be seen with. Sinners, tax collectors, prostitutes, maybe a family like you see on the screen behind me. Well, the religious officials grumbled. They're often, sadly, the first to grumble about love that has room for sinners. And love that reaches out to include the excluded. So they grumbled, and Jesus heard it, and so he told a series of stories. Jesus wanted to convince those folks to quit grumbling and fussing about God, who's letting all kinds of people into the kingdom, and to start enjoying the gifts of God's expansive love. That's a lesson, by the way, that the church, even in our day, 2,000 years later, sometimes still struggles with. Well, these stories that Luke tells in chapter 15 are familiar and they're unforgettable. I remember from my Sunday school days a picture on the wall of one of my Sunday school rooms of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, and finding that shepherd and then putting it on his shoulders and carrying it back. It's an image that a young child loves. It's an image of comfort and security. And I think every child at some time or another feels lost. And so those pictures communicate gospel to children and maybe even sometimes to adults. In chapter 15 of Luke, which I think is the heart of his gospel, are three parables. We're just going to talk about the one, but though you know them well, there's the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost sons. There are two sons that are lost in that last long parable. And Jesus uses images for God that were probably offensive to his first hearers and maybe occasionally to us. God is a shepherd that cares for his flock. Yeah, I like that. That's good. God is a father who has no pride but runs to embrace this son who has squandered his inheritance and is coming back bedraggled and scraggly. Well, we can maybe deal with that. How about God as a woman, a poor woman, looking for a lost coin? I've only heard one sermon. I've been going to church for a few years, as you might well imagine. I've only ever heard one sermon mention this image for God, God as a poor woman. It seems like maybe we in our day, just like the Pharisees in Jesus' day, are a bit embarrassed to think of God that vulnerable, that compassionate, that caring. That's why I thought I would put that picture up. It's a powerful image taken in 1940 along a highway in Arkansas as people were being dispossessed and having to move. And you can see her with her children looking in rather dire straits. The story that Jesus tells us about this woman looking for a coin, the story is about a search, of course, but it's about more than that. You see, in the story, this poor woman looks for her lost coin. These 10 coins probably represented her life savings, and 1 coin would represent about a day's income. She is somewhat desperate. Listen to the way the text, the story is described. When she loses these 1 coin, won't she light a lamp, sweep, and search the house from top to bottom until she finds it? The verbs are active. This implies a somewhat desperate, very intentional search. And when she finds it, there's great joy. She invites her friends to celebrate. By the way, the gender in the Greek in this story of friends is in the feminine, so it was probably this woman was inviting her woman friends over for coffee and tea and whatever, and they had a party. They were loving it. Well, Jesus is hinting, if a woman will search diligently for a lost coin, how much more will God search diligently for his lost people? The verbs of action in that story that she seeks so carefully and her persistent underscore the effort to which she goes and the effort to which God will go. Searching and joy are essential features of this story. See, one of the things that Jesus was encountering in his discussions with the Pharisees and the scribes was this theological opinion. The Pharisees and the scribes thought, well, of course we demand repentance. We want people to repent and come to God. But you see, we will only value the sinners after they've repented, after they become pure, after they become good people. Then they will be welcome into our midst and to worship with us and to serve with us. Jesus begins at the other end of the spectrum. And to get Jesus' point, we have to begin to look at sinners in a different way as well. Jesus communicates no disdain for sinners. He's not waiting until they repent or they're pure. He goes out searching and looking for them. Now, it's true Jesus did not condone sin, but neither did he communicate disdain for those on the margins, those who were sinners. Jesus was always inviting people in to receive God's forgiveness and to participate in the kingdom. The stories tell us that we don't have to earn God's love. God loves coming to look for us and celebrates finding us. God's grace and God's joy creates room, room even for people who think they don't belong. Can we as a church do any less? If such diligent searching is God's character, it should be the church's character as well. The Whisper Test is a memoir by Mary Ann Bird. The Whisper Test. Mary Ann tells a story about being born with multiple birth defects. She had a cleft palate. She had a disfigured face, a crooked nose. Her feet were lopsided and she was deaf in one ear. And so as a child, she suffered these physical impairments, but when she went to school, she was often mocked and teased rather mercilessly by other children. Oh, Mary Ann, what's wrong with your lip? But worst of all, she writes, was the annual hearing test. Apparently there was a tradition in her school. The teacher would call each child forward, and then the child would cover one ear, then the other, while the teacher would whisper a simple phrase into their ear, "The sky is blue," or "You have new shoes." Well, Marianne could not hear in one ear, and she hated that whisper test because she could barely hear what the teacher was saying, and she didn't want to draw any attention to her disability. But one year, her teacher was Miss Leonard, whom every child in the classroom loved. And then came the day for the dreaded hearing test. Marianne cupped her ear. Miss Leonard leaned forward. Marianne remembers, "I waited for those words which God must have put in her mouth, those 7 words that changed my life." Miss Leonard did not say, "The sky is blue," or "You have new shoes." What she whispered was, "I wish you were my little girl." God has in Jesus Christ, God has in Jesus Christ become the one who has come to find us and claim us, to gather us in and to make us his own. And so the words of the hymn resonate with us. Gather us in, the lost and forsaken. Gather us in, the blind and the lame. Call to us now, and we shall awaken. We shall arise at the sound of our name. Thanks be to God. Amen.